to know that those of our loved ones that knew Jesus are in his presence. And it's so exciting when it's sad for us because we mourn the loss of those that we've loved, but for them, it's an amazing fulfillment of their lives. And, you know, for us as Christians, I think it's so important that we live in this tension of wanting to be here on earth, but also desiring to be with the Lord. Because when you read many of Paul's letters, he speaks about that. You know, that I desire to be with the Lord, but I'm here at the moment. I'm here on the earth, but I'm desiring, I'm looking forward to, I'm setting my heart upon heaven. And as I was cycling down, and it's happened the last few weeks, as we've been cycling down, there's a gentleman who looks exactly like Ali's dad. He's got the same physique, the trousers, you know, and same walk, and cycling down the road. And I looked at him and I thought, ah. Oh. You know, has that happened to you? You know, you see people and you think, oh, really? I really miss them. Have you had that? And it's happened several mornings where because I loved Ali's dad. He was an amazing man. Many of you know him. Amazing man. And I looked and I thought, wow. And then suddenly I thought, oh, really? I really miss not seeing him. Then I suddenly thought, but he is in heaven. At the right hand, or in God's presence, he is there in heaven, in the presence of God, worshiping his King. And so although I was sad to kind of be reminded, equally, I was pleased and excited to get the right perspective, that actually I know where he is. So I wanted to share a little bit about that today, and As we start, let's pray. And today actually is the anniversary of Ken's passing away. So it'd be good to pray for them, for Jason, for others that have over this time lost loved ones. Father, we just today thank you for the hope that we have in knowing you. Lord, thank you that there is no uncertainty. We know that you have won the right to forgive us of our sins, to draw us to yourself. You've given us your name, and you've given us the promise of eternal life. And Father, we just rejoice and celebrate. Lord, thank you that our hope is not a vague grasp, but Lord, it's a solid and secure hope in you. And we just pray for those, Father, that have lost those that are dear to them over this recent time. We just pray for Naomi and for the boys, pray for Jason, and pray for others, Lord, that are sitting here that have lost fathers and mothers and other loved ones. Lord, I thank you that you're the God of all comfort. Thank you that you're the God that gives strength to the weak. And I just pray, God, that through this message and over these next few weeks, God, that you would just turn our attention and turn our focus from ourselves and onto you, Lord God, onto you and your magnificence and of your wonderful, wonderful presence. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, and I've chosen three different translations, so this is the first one. The other two aren't up there, so just keep up with us. Since you were raised from the dead with Christ, aim at what is in heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Another version says, if then you are raised with Christ, keep looking for the good things of heaven. This is where Christ is seated at the right side of God. And another version says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Isn't that amazing? Set your sights. Set your perspective. Look to heaven. It says, keep your sights on. Keep looking to. Aim for the good things of heaven. Actually, the reality is that everything that is truly amazing and wonderful and wholesome and fruitful and beyond our wildest dreams is in heaven waiting for us. It's there. Everything that we absolutely desire and long for is there, because actually God's fullness of his presence is going to be revealed in heaven. You see, for us as a church, our calling is to be in the world, isn't it? We're to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. What is John 17? Oh, it is. Okay, John 17. I am coming to you now, but I say these things that while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And, you know, yes, we've been placed upon the earth. We're in the world. But actually our home and our roots are not of this world, but they are of an eternal heavenly kingdom. So it's not that we are just totally just living for heaven that we forget what's going on the earth, but it's not that we're totally as well equally just living for what we can get here upon the earth and just sort of with a vague hope of heaven. We're placed upon the earth to make an impact and bring transformation. That's what God has placed us, placed you, placed the church on the earth to see. But our true home is heaven. And the question is, do we as believers and as a church have heaven on our mind? Or is it something that is just a vague kind of concept for us? Do you have heaven on your mind? Is it the driving force of our lives? Is it what inspires, is the hope of heaven and the reward that we're going to get, does it inspire you? Wow. The reward that is coming, the blessing that is coming, the intimacy that is coming, that we're going to have with our God and our Savior, the one that we worship and that we love and that we're living for upon the earth. You know, we see him just vaguely, dimly, it says. We're just seeing a slight impression of what heaven's going to be like. Now we're going to step into that place. And really, that understanding should be an encouragement for us to endure whatever issues, problems, difficulties, challenges that we face. Because this life isn't all that there is, and there is more to come, isn't there? It should inspire us to endure whatever we face in the power of God. And let me tell you, if we focus on ourselves, then that really is a recipe for depression, isn't it? I don't know about you. I know you're amazing, fantastic, wonderful, anointed, spirit-filled people. Yes. But I know when I concentrate upon myself too much and I take my focus off whatever, you know, off the Lord and put it onto me and my problems and difficulties or whatever it is, I know that that's a recipe for depression. And self-centered Christians or self-satisfying Christians The outcome of that is to become very, very weak believers and therefore a weak church. And I don't think God wants us to focus upon ourselves and our own needs and our own issues, but he wants us to focus upon what is eternal and the reward and the blessing and the glory that there is going to be. There you go. Come on, Tunde, I set you up for that. Tunde said to me, you know Tunde Staingworth, she said, if you say glory in your sermon, I'm going to stand up and shout, hallelujah. She didn't do it. There you go. There you go. Ah, it's too late now. I even underlined it. Oh boy, I'm going to be really in for it now. Okay, yeah. If we set our hope on heaven, sorry, our hope on the experience here upon the earth, then we're going to be weak Christians because we can so easily become self-focused and self-centered. The flesh wants us to be comfortable with just a passing thought of heaven. But when I read the Gospels, it was heaven was the driving force. I'm going to meet with my Savior. You know, that's how I can go through torture and I can go through pain and discomfort and shipwreck and whatever it is, because I know that there's something better that is coming. And so often I and we just see what we're going through now. And we just think, where is God in this? Do you know what? God has saved the best till last. He has. God has saved the best for last, because heaven is not going to be a rerun of your life here upon the earth. Heaven, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard what God has got in store for those who love him. It's not a rerun. It's not a rework. It's the best. He's saving the best for us for eternity. And that isn't just for 100 years, but for eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Wow. In the presence of God. So let's not become self-absorbed with our own wants and desires, because time is passing so quickly. There's a lost world out there that needs to know Jesus, because if they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell. Because there's no other way by which a man must be saved, no other name by which we can be saved, but only through Jesus. There's no other way. And so people need to know this wonderful message of our Savior, so that those also too can enter into that most amazing time of reward and fulfillment. And I love that idea, don't you? You know, that we will cast our crowns before God. All the stuff that we've done, anything that we've, any good that we've done or we've achieved, actually we're just going to be casting our crowns before him. And we're just saying, ultimately, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are so wonderful. I feel like I'm bowing down to Diane here. You're worthy. No. You're worthy. God, you're worthy. That's what heaven is going to be like. The focus is not going to be on us. It's going to be totally upon him. They're all crying, all the elders and the creatures, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Wow, that's not a focus upon us. All upon him. The flesh just wants us to be comfortable with a passing thought of heaven. But contrast that with the fact that everything, that just about everything that's precious to us is in heaven, waiting for us. What do I mean? Matthew 6, verse 9. It says, our Father, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Who's in heaven? Our Father is in heaven. The source of everything, source of everything for us, all that we're living for, that's his throne room. Hebrews 9, verse 24 says, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into," where? Into heaven itself. "Now to appear in the presence of God for us." Hebrews 12, verse 23 says, "To the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn who are written," whose names are written in where? In where? In heaven. Our loved ones, those who were believers, they're there in heaven. You know, tragically, people get separated from those that they love, and tragedies happen. You know, terrible things happen. But you know, if those people are in Christ, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. And it's so interesting. Will Murray was just passing through this week, and we were talking together about this, and we were talking about how will we know each other, because we're going to have heavenly bodies. So all of you men and all of you women that are looking to have new bodies, you're going to have a new body in heaven. Woo! So fantastic. We're all going to have six packs, and we're just going to, not the women. how will we know each other? And I was reading a commentary. You know, they were saying, well, it may not be that we recognize. It could be. I don't know. It could be that we recognize one another. But you know how it is when you meet somebody who's a Christian, but you've never met them before, and you meet them on holiday or just in a out of a context of church, but immediately you know that there's a link and a bond and a connection, something deeper than just a shared interest. It's not being, as Christians, we don't just have a shared interest, do we? We're bound together. It's the blood of Jesus that draws us together. And maybe that's what you know. Actually, there's only going to be Christians in heaven anyway. But you're gonna know. You're gonna recognize something in them. So all of the people, Old Testament saints, wow, who's your hero in the Old Testament? Somebody that you'd look, I mean, how awesome is that going to be? To go and just hang out with Nehemiah, you know, or just whoever it is, Abraham. I mean, we kind of laugh, but the Old Testament saints and New Testament believers, those that have died in faith, it says there that their names are written in heaven. Luke 10, verse 20 says that we ought to give hope to hearts. It says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in what?" Wow. We're casting out demons. We're doing these amazing things. We're seeing God do just incredible. But yes, those things are amazing. But rejoice. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You're going there. If you've given your life to Jesus, it's assured. There's no doubt about it. You're going to be with God in heaven for eternity. And it is something that, as I said, can strengthen and encourage and build you up as you meditate upon that, knowing that there is something greater that you're going to enter into. Guys, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. You know, sometimes we do go through things that we don't understand. We don't understand why these things would happen to us, or why various stuff. Sometimes there's just no answer to why things happen. But don't give up, because this experience here on the earth is not all that there is. There's something much, much, much greater awaiting for us. That's your reward. The Bible talks about when saints, Christians, die. Doesn't use the word die. It talks about falling asleep. You fall asleep, your eyes close, and you open them, and you're in the presence of God. Falling asleep. That's a really good terminology, because there's all sorts of theories about, you know, what's going to happen in time and the resurrection, and how does that all work? Actually, the Bible makes it very clear. We're just going to fall asleep, and in God's time, we'll open our eyes, and we'll be in God's presence. How amazing is that? You know, God wants to destroy the fear of death, and because that's what he did on the cross. He wants to destroy the fear of death in your life and in my life. And because actually death is it's a daunting thing in one sense, but we know that our faith overcomes that, that we know that God is in control, and there's something better to come. So let's rejoice that our names are written in heaven. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Are you still with me? Are you excited? I'm actually really, really excited. It's been wonderful to kind of, I guess when you come to preach, you kind of meditate over the subject for a while, and it's something that is just, oh, it's so wonderful to have a heavenly perspective. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved," where? Thank you, Joy. "In heaven for you." So your eternal inheritance is in heaven. What does that mean? All the riches of God's glory and grace are set aside for you and me in heaven. Did you hear what I said? There's an inheritance waiting for you and for me. So don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't give in. Don't turn back. Don't throw the towel in. Press on. Keep on going. He's worth it. It's worth it. The reward is going to be off the chart when you get into heaven at the end of your life. It's going to be, you're just going to be, "I'm so glad that I didn't give up. Wow, look what I have received from the Lord." Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is where? In heaven, from which we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we all know, but our citizenship isn't whether we are English or Brazilian or wherever we're from, Turkey, or our citizenship, Hungary, Romania, wherever Tunde's from, I don't know. Yeah, Tunde's getting it today. Okay. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. We are just passing through. We are pilgrims. We're aliens. And I know that we know this. I mean, theoretically we know it, but I'm just trying to encourage you to actually recognize, actually this is true, and that we don't just need to know about it. We need to live in the reality of this, that our citizenship is in heaven. That means that where you're a citizen, that means that's where you belong. That's where you belong. Your citizenship is in heaven. That's where you belong. Matthew 5:12 says, "Blessed are you when you're persecuted, for great shall be your reward in heaven." Who's up for a great reward? Anybody? No, just me. Okay, just a couple. Yeah. Actually, I was kind of thinking, what is a great reward? Because I'm thinking just to get into heaven is reward enough. And I don't, I was talking again to Will, and we were kind of just talking about what does that mean, a great reward. And I don't actually know what a great reward means. I think it's just to get into heaven is reward enough to be in the presence of God. But the Bible does seem to say that for those that persevere and for those that give much, there is a great reward in heaven. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. So when people say bad things and they do bad things, when they're doing it to you because you're doing good to them, that's when you're going to be rewarded. So when they do those things, don't say, "Oh, you know, why is this happening to me? Why is, you know, God doesn't love me?" Let's go back. Don't concentrate upon yourself. Know that when we are people that are living for eternity and standing up for what God loves and speaking the wonders of God, that we are going to be persecuted and there are going to be things done and said to us. It's just how it is. But rejoice. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't step back. Don't retreat. Keep on going. Keep on going, because there's a great reward that is coming. Matthew 6, verse 19 and 21. Jesus says there that do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Thank you, Joy. Treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The only treasure that you'll ever possess forever is going to be in heaven. Don't gather and store stuff here on the earth. Invest in the kingdom. Invest in lives. Invest in seeing people get saved. Invest in the eternal, because that is going to be the treasure that is going to last forever. There was a story of a very rich man who at the end of his life, what was the amount of money that he could take with him into heaven? Nothing. But you can't take your earthly riches with you. Heaven is your home. We are strangers. We are pilgrims. We're aliens in this world. We don't belong. We arrived here, but our home is somewhere else. Yes, our home is somewhere. Roger's getting into it now. Everything that we cherish is there. Everything actually that is valuable is there. Everything that is eternal is there. And self-satisfying Christianity is the kind of Christianity that's lost its heavenly perspective. Because it's just about me. It's just about me. And my likes and my dislikes. My preference or not. And actually, that isn't the kind of Christianity that God wants for his church, is it? He wants us to have a bigger, eternal, wider perspective. And, I think often we don't see things as God sees them. You know, God sees it. When I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about, you know, what's our view of success? You know, and we have different views of success. But Paul ended up in prison. And actually not having any others really around him. And it looked like actually his whole ministry really had just dissolved. Was he not successful? He was successful because he was doing what God had told him to do. So as long as we are right in the center of God's will and we're doing what he's told us to do and we're obedient to his voice, then actually, even though the world might seem like things are just falling apart, Maybe God's got a plan and a purpose in that situation that you're going through. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Carry on. Don't retreat. Press on. A great reward is coming. Be encouraged. I think that actually the Christian faith is a bit like a two-sided coin. One facet of our life that we are cherished, we are loved, we're forgiven, we're set free, we're made a child of God, we're accepted. All the good things that we love to major upon. But the other side of the coin is that we're called to die to self. We're called to take up our cross. We're called to follow him. We're called to be obedient to what he tells us to do. And what he says is right for us to do. And the two go together, don't they? So you've got to have a balanced Christian viewpoint and life. Yes, we are forgiven. Yes, we are loved. Yes, we are cherished. But when it gets hard and when it gets difficult and when we get confused and when we don't understand, we also have to realize that we're called to die to self. Like I said, we're called just to take up our cross. We're called to persevere and to carry on. And God will bring it right in the end. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8. It says, Paul says, I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Here he was torn between serving God on earth and going to be with God in heaven. What he was expressing, in one sense, saying, actually, I feel homesick for heaven. Because in heaven, the Jesus that he loved so much, the fullness of the God that he loved, was realized there. He didn't, listen to this, he didn't see heaven as the booby prize. It's not, well, you know, I'm living life and my natural life is the best that I can get. And then heaven's just the afterthought. It's the other way round. God has saved the best, as I said, for us till last. And I think having this heavenly perspective, God wants to shake us up so that we don't get so consumed by the world, what it has to offer. But that more and more our eyes and our hearts are set on where each and every single one of us are going, whether we like it or not. Every day, we're edging closer to that place where we're going to meet with our God. Let me just, I'm only about halfway through, so maybe I will wrap up and then you'll get the rest next week. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8. Listen to his heart. Oh my goodness. That is a lot of words. I'll just pick out a bit from that. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. You can take that. Can you just take that down from there? Because that's probably scary. Yeah, I know it is. No, you've done it right, but it's scaring me looking at that. I'm just going to pick out. Well done, Ellen. Thanks. You've been very good with that. The scriptures. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Listen to this. Perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. In other words, we have it tough here sometimes. Afflicted, persecuted, perplexed, struck down, always carrying around the death in our bodies of Christ, constantly being delivered over to death. But it says in verse 16, but we don't lose heart. In spite of this, don't lose heart. Verse 16, though the outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentarily light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. It's not working. It's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension or comparison. In other words, whatever we endure in this life can't be compared to the glory that is going to come for us. Perplexed, crushed, difficulties, problems, whatever we're going through, yet it's nothing, nothing, nothing compared to what you and I are going to experience in the Lord. I guess what I want to encourage you with, just we'll finish now, is to have an eternal perspective. Guys, don't set your heart, your dreams, your desires, your hopes, your ambitions purely just on what we're going to get here. Because if we do, we will be let down. But when we set our mind on the great reward, did you hear that? The great reward that is awaiting us. We're not going to be let down. God isn't going to dupe us and just say, ha ha ha, fooled you. We're the ones that are going to be in his presence and say, oh my goodness, I never imagined it would. I knew God was wonderful, but wow. And it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. All of the sacrifice, the difficulties and stuff that we go through, it's going to be worth it. And I think, you know, for us as Christians, we need that encouragement. We need that motivation. We need that heavenly perspective. We need it because we so easily can get discouraged, can't we? And so when you start to get discouraged, you know, that's a good indicator. Actually, maybe I'm focusing too much upon me or the situations that I'm in, upon this temporary situation that I'm in. Now I need to cast my eyes, look to the hills where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. I need to change my perspective. As I say, we're gonna talk over the next few weeks about this. And I really, really, really hope that as we look at this, that God just shifts us, shifts our focus, moves us into becoming even more daring and even more bolder and even more full of his love and even more full of his appreciation of who he is. That God does something in us that is going to make us even more effective and see greater fruit for his kingdom. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you're alive. We thank you that you are the living God. Lord, your word talks about how idols were made, and they had ears but did not hear, and mouths but did not speak, and eyes that did not see, yet you're the living God. And thank you that you are alive in heaven, but Lord, also alive in our hearts. Thank you that you have such great intentions. We started this morning by saying that you are taste and see that the Lord is good. And thank you that you have good and wonderful plans and things for us. And Father, I pray that you would just encourage and strengthen every heart here. strengthen my heart, strengthen each and every single person here, whatever situation that they're in, or whatever stage along their Christian life that they're in. Lord, would you please strengthen them? Holy Spirit, strengthen them, build them up, encourage them. And Lord, set our hearts and our minds upon you. Lord, that we may be those that are in the world but not of the world, and live as such people. I pray, Father, that you would do something, God, in each of us. And I thank you for the hope that we have of knowing that we're going to be with you, absent in the body, present with God. I just pray, that, Lord, that you'd minister to each one right now by your Holy Spirit. That you move, Holy Spirit, upon and in every life that is here. Lord, may we be captivated by you. And Lord, our eyes lifted just that little bit higher. Pray encouragement. Pray strength. Pray, Lord, for every lie of the enemy that has been coming against people. Lord, that the power of the enemy and his lies will be completely broken in Jesus' name. Lord, that you'd set us free, knowing, God, there's a great reward for us. And so thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you for every person here, Lord, who's called, Lord, that has got a plan and a part, Lord God, in your kingdom to play. And I pray, Father, that each and every one of us would just surrender ourselves to you and allow you, Lord, to do what you want to do in and through us to a greater degree. Lord, because our life on this earth is not to serve ourselves, but is for you, Lord, and for your purposes and for your kingdom. Lord, work that in us, I pray. And Lord, as we leave now, I pray, God, please send us out, Lord, full, excited about what you want to do and can do in and through us. And so we give you thanks, Father. Thank you for what you've done this morning. Thank you for, Lord, all that you are going to do as well. Thank you, Father, for every provision, every miracle, every blessing we've received. We attribute it and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want some prayer, then there's people around that would love to pray with you and for you. Otherwise, we're going to have some tea and some coffee. God bless you. Have an amazing week. God bless you.